Okay, for those of you listening on the radio, Mind Character Personality, Volume 2, page 615, if you got the book, Chapter 29. This is about disposition. Yeah, let me just slide this frame over a little bit, get more data on the screen, and then max it out. Okay. First one is varied dispositions. In our association with one another, we have to remember that all have not the same talents or the same disposition. The workers differ in plans and ideas. Varied gifts combined are necessary for the success of the work. Let us remember that some can fill certain positions more successfully than others. The worker, who has been given tact and ability that fit him for the accomplishment of some special line of work, should not blame others for not being able to do that which he perhaps can do readily. Are there not things that his fellow workers can do far more successfully than he? Amen to that. A lot of people have a tendency to forget that too, especially bosses. And I was a little bit exacting as a boss too. When I was a boss for as many years, the thing that I could not deal with, and I still can't deal with to this day, is incompetence. And when I say incompetence, what I'm saying is the person that was hired to do a specific job, if you can't do the job, then it's considered incompetence, which means do a different job. Okay, I'm not saying that they're, you know, a mental, you know, problem. I mean, I'm not saying that they can't do anything. What I'm saying is when they get into a position, you know, like some people want to go into an area where they're not gifted, and they should be in a different area in work and whatnot. And that's what always bothered me, like when I would, even when I was outside the employment area, let's say I'm at home and I'm calling up somebody to purchase an item or repair an item, and I'm talking to somebody on the phone that just can't understand English, you know, and then I'm thinking, okay, maybe you should be in a different position than on the phone, you know? It would cause less grief for the people that are trying to contact the company and stuff like that. But still, there's, you know, even in the church, there's areas too. People that are called to be pastors and people that are called to be leaders of the children, you know, youth leaders and stuff like that. And there's all sorts of different areas. But my problem was I would get in people's faces. But that took me years to get to that position because I never liked getting in people's faces. I hated bosses like that, you know, tyrants we used to call them. And so I always got to a point where I would never do that. But towards the end, before I started going out and doing independent contracting kind of stuff, I didn't like the way I was acting, and so I kind of stepped out of it. I got to get this. It'll only take a minute, so I'll be right back. Go ahead, whoever wants to pick it up next.
See, this is where I have to say phones have answering machines. But I will continue on with different dispositions, different outlooks. Every association of life calls for the exercise of self-control, forbearance, and sympathy. We differ so widely in disposition, habits, education, that our ways of looking at things vary. We judge differently. Our understanding of truth, our ideas in regard to the conduct of life, are not in all respects the same. There are no two whose experience is alike in every particular. The trials of one are not the trials of another. The duties that one finds light are to another most difficult and perplexing. The next one is diversity of dispositions in family. Marked diversities of dispositions and character frequently exist in the same family, for it is in the order of God that persons of varied temperament should associate together. When this is the case, each member of the household should sacredly regard the feelings and respect the rights of the others. By this means, mutual consideration and forbearance will be cultivated, prejudices will be softened, and rough points of character smoothed. Harmony may be secured, and the blending of the varied temperaments may be a benefit to each. Parents transmit disposition, and fathers as well as mothers are involved in this responsibility. Both parents transmit their own characteristics, mental and physical, their dispositions and appetites to their children. Oh, very scary. Very scary thought. Very true. Inherited disposition. God wants us to help one another by a manifestation of sympathy and unselfish love. There are those who have inherited peculiar tempers and dispositions. They may be hard to deal with, but are we faultless? They are not to be discouraged. Their errors are not to be made common property. Christ pities and helps those who err in judgment. He has suffered death for every man, and because of this, he has a touching and profound interest in every man. Exactly, Bonnie. You were telling me that about a week ago. So Bonnie's already said this. The next one is changing to a sweet disposition. Watch and pray is an injunction often repeated in the scriptures. In the lives of those who obey this injunction, there will be an undercurrent of happiness that will bless all with whom they are brought in contact. Those who are sour and cross in disposition will become sweet and gentle. Those who are proud will become meek and lowly. Regularity and order improve disposition. If the youth would form habits of regularity and order, they would improve in health, in spirits, in memory, and in disposition. Let's see, scrolling down here. Dispositions may be modified. It is in mercy that the Lord reveals to men their hidden defects. He would have them critically examine the complicated emotions and motives of their own hearts and detect that which is wrong, modify their dispositions, and refine their manners. God would have his servants become acquainted with their own hearts. In order to bring to them a true knowledge of their condition, he permits the fire of affliction to assail them so that they may be purified. Morose disposition injures teachers' efficiency. Above all others, he who has the training of the youth should beware of indulging a morose or gloomy disposition, for this will cut him off from sympathy with his students, and without sympathy he cannot hope to benefit them. We should not darken our own path or the path of others with the shadow of our trials. We have a Savior to whom to go, into whose pitying ear we may pour every complaint. We may leave all our cares and burdens with him, and then our labor will not seem hard or our trials severe. Combining sunniness and integrity. The religion of Jesus softens whatever is hard and rough in the temper and smooths whatever is rugged and sharp in the manners. It makes the words gentle and the demeanor winning. Let us learn from Christ how to combine a high sense of purity and integrity with sunniness of disposition. A kind, courteous Christian is the most powerful argument that can be produced in favor of Christianity.
Amen. Figured I'd give you a break. That last statement, a kind, courteous Christian, is the most powerful argument. Just watching how, you know, like I was attacked. Well, I wouldn't say attacked, but I was put in between a rock and a hard place. This has happened about four or five times in the last month, let's say. One of them was with family in regards to this Christmas thing. Boy, I told you, the tempers just flared like crazy when I asked them to please, very kindly, do not, you know, invite me or my children to these Christmas things. And I was just swamped with anger and hatred, and it was just amazing. But a kind, courteous response using Scripture and being as gentle and loving as possible completely turned it around. Unbelievable. Well, believable. Let's just put it that way. The way it, so it is powerful. Continuing, improper eating spoils the disposition. I think I'm jumping the gun on Lynn here because I already started reading, then I had to stop. Oh, okay, cool. All right. So I'll read a few, then you can read a few. All right. So, improper eating spoils the disposition. Many spoil the dispositions by eating improperly. We should be just as careful to learn the lessons of health reform as we are to have our studies perfectly prepared. For the habits that we adopt in this direction are helping to form our characters for the future life. So you've got to be saints down here before we can be saints up there. It's not like Catholicism teaches. You don't have to be dead and pushing up daisies to be a saint. And going on, it is possible for one to spoil his spiritual experience by an ill usage of the stomach. Is there some kind of a loop on this page? Maybe I got something open on one of my browsers. I keep hearing a click, like something is looping. I'm going to turn off the browser. I hear it on my end because I have, whenever there's a movement on a browser, it makes a little soft, gentle click. You can barely hear it. So I could tell when pages are refreshing for some of the things that I do for the site. So I just shut the browser down. I thought it was this page that we're on was doing a refresh. Anyway, next one is flesh meats produce an irritable disposition. God did not withhold meat from the Hebrews in the wilderness simply to show his authority, but for their good, that they might preserve physical and moral strength. He knew that the use of animal food strengthens the animal passions and enfeebles the intellect. He knew that the gratification of the appetite of the Hebrews for flesh meats would weaken their moral powers and induce such an irritable disposition that the vast army would become insubordinate, that they would lose the high sense of their moral obligations and refuse to be controlled by the wise laws of Jehovah. And one more, and here's where I had a problem, especially when I was young. I don't deal with this. I don't much care for sugar now. But she says that sugar is not good for the stomach. It causes fermentation, and this clouds the brain and brings peevishness and into disposition. Let's say that 12 times real fast.
Amen. And I even think that, you know, with meat, you know, I even want to restrict it to my dog because the dog right now, she has a really sweet disposition and things like that. And, you know, I don't want to give her the fat and blood and then she start turning mean or what have you. So I definitely can relate to that. And anywho, continuing on, softening a perverse disposition. Advancement in Christian experience is characterized by increasing humility as a result of increasing knowledge. Everyone who is united to Christ will depart from all iniquity. And I tell you in the fear of God, I have been shown that many of you will fail of everlasting life because you are building your hopes of heaven on a false foundation. God is leading you to yourselves, to humble you and to prove you, to know what is in your heart. Amen. From Deuteronomy, I believe that's chapter 8, something like that. Ye have neglected the scriptures. You despise and reject the testimonies because they reprove your darling sins and disturb your self-complacency. When Christ is cherished in the heart, his likeness
will be revealed in the life. Humility will reign where pride was once predominant. Submission, meekness, patience will soften down the rugged features of a naturally perverse, impetuous disposition. Love to Jesus will be manifested in love to his people. It is not fitful, not spasmodic, but calm and deep and strong. Amen. Amen, David. We should decrease so the Lord can increase in our lives. Continuing, the life of the Christian will be divested of all pretense, free from all affection, artifice, and falsehood. It is earnest, true, sublime. Christ speaks in every word. He is seen in every deed. The life is radiant with the light of an indwelling Savior. In converse with God and in happy contemplation of heavenly things, the soul is preparing for heaven and laboring to gather other souls into the fold of Christ. Our Savior is able and willing to do for us more than we can ask or even think. And one more here. God can mold the disposition. Whatever your disposition may be, God is able to so mold that disposition that it will be sweet and Christ-like. By living faith, you can separate from everything not in accordance with the mind of God, and thus bring a heaven into your life here below. Will you do this? If you do, you will have sunshine at every step. Amen.
Okay, I'll go. A blessing to the sick. The pleasant disposition, the beautiful character, the Lord will use to bring blessing to the sick. The truths of the Word of God possess a sanctifying, transforming power. If received into the heart and carried into the life, they will prove a savor of life unto life. Let those employed in our institutions be such as will let the light of truth shine forth in their daily words and actions. It is only such that Christ can accept as workers together with him. But some of these hospitals today, forget about it. I couldn't believe some of the things that Luke was telling me that they were doing to him, this one guy in particular, while Luke was in and out of it. You know, he was on the ventilator and all this other stuff. And this one nurse used to come in there, and we never could find the guy because I was going to approach him. He would hold Luke's air hose, and he would squeeze it, stop him from breathing, and say some stuff to him. You know, act like a tough guy, you know. And here he is on his deathbed. And we tried to find the guy and stuff like that, but, you know, we never did. And we didn't bring it up to anybody on the staff there because we kind of wanted to handle it on ourselves. We weren't going to beat the guy up or nothing like that. Luke is my son. He was in intensive care last February for a month. The Lord performed four miracles, three of them in which the doctors will admit to. And did admit to numerous times. Still to this day, they cannot figure out how he's not dead. But yeah, we were going to approach him and let him know that, you know, we're going to share Christ with him and whatnot and stuff like that. But scary situation. That's the way some hospitals are. This is a Catholic hospital, of course, and so they really don't care. It's hospitals are just businesses now. Yeah. All right, next one is harmony of varied dispositions. Harmony and union existing among men of varied dispositions is the strongest witness can be borne that God has sent his Son into the world to save sinners. It is our privilege to bear this witness. But in order to do this, we must place ourselves under Christ's command. Our characters must be molded in harmony with his character. Our wills must be surrendered to his will. Then we shall work together without a thought of collision. And the next one is, a disposition imbued with thankfulness and peace says, of all things that are sought, cherished, and cultivated, there is nothing so valuable in the sight of God as a pure heart, a disposition imbued with thankfulness and peace. And this is where we strive. This is where we have to strive. We want to put a smile on his face. We want to, you know, I mean, because I was just thinking about this today in the midday, and I'm out there, and I'm thinking, why can't people understand that when they end up in hell, let's just say, when they deny him and they eventually go to hell, their life is a constant testimony that they think God is a liar. You know, the constant testimony is declaring him a liar. And it just makes no sense. He gives you all this and you still call him a liar. Because they just don't want to believe. I just can't see that. It just makes no sense. I mean, well, why can't they just swallow their pride? Maybe that's what it is. It's a pride thing. I don't know. Maybe they want to be God, which I would not want to have that job. I just don't get the mind of some people. Because even when I was a little kid, even before I was a Christian, I understood there was a God. And I understood there was a right and a wrong. But I praise his name that he finally literally introduced himself to me as he does to Christians, when I found him at the ripe old age of 29. The last one here says, disposition not changed by resurrection. A lot of people think that this, or a lot of people also think that the latter rain changes their disposition too. You know, like it's been said, you got to be a saint here before you can be a saint there. You got to be a saint before you can get the latter rain. And you also got to be a saint before you'll even get the good resurrection. Everybody's going to get a resurrection. It's the good one you want. You want the resurrection that when you, like if you die before Jesus gets here, the resurrection you want is when you actually see the eastern sky splitting and, you know, you're rising up to meet him in the air, the first resurrection. But she says here, if you would be a saint in heaven, oh, look at that. That's what I was just saying. You must be a saint on earth. Because I remember reading it here in her writings. I was just more or less quoting her. The traits of character you cherish in life will not be changed by death or by the resurrection. You will come up from the grave with the same disposition you manifested in your home and in society. And that scares the daylights out of me. And this is why, it's a constant struggle against self. Walking with Christ is easy. It's walking with yourself that gets difficult because you know how self is. We work out our salvation daily. And one of the things the devil has tempted me with at an early age, and it was burned into me for many, 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 many years, is anger. It's an emotion that I loathe it now. But it's still there, attractive. And it just, please keep me in your prayers on that. Because I keep you guys in prayers for your areas. But I just can't wait for the day when that eastern sky splits and the enemy's power is totally removed. You know, because even if we're part of the Gideon band, we're still going to have the attacks coming on. You know, still have questions. Because one of the things, of course, we'll be dealing with is, are we worthy of he who's coming out of that sky? You know, did I confess all those sins? Kind of a thought, you know. So, with that said, I'm going to save this one and put it on my desktop. Yeah, me too. The sugar, I used to have a real problem with that. I've got three teeth somewhere out in the junkyards to prove it. You know? And it ain't fun pulling a tooth with a screwdriver, let me tell you. I was too cheap to go to a dentist. Then I eventually had to go anyway because I ripped the whole top of the tooth off. So let me turn off the recorder here.